He's either going to suck or have a big year and move on.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Uncle Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And oh, it is so good to have Ira back. He's been ill. He's going to tell us about it. And you're going to be ill if you shop anywhere other than Bill Curry Ford, because they still have till the end of this month 0% financing, zero money down, zero payments for 90 days, multi-year maintenance included. BillCurryFord.com. The Curry family, we mentioned them, but it's important. Family-owned makes a real difference versus the corporate dealerships out there. And while general manager of Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan, his last name isn't Curry, but he's your family, your Bucks family, your Joe Bucks fan family. You can reach out to him anytime, 24/7. His email is at BillCurryFord.com, and you can ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount. You can ask him for guidance. You can say, Sean, what should I do with this? This is what I'm thinking of doing. I'm going to need two vehicles in the next year on this, on that. And they're paying more for your trade than you could ever imagine. BillCurryFord.com. Biggest service drive in Florida. Loaner vehicles, mobile service team that will come to your home and work on your vehicle there. Maybe do a small recall or whatever it is. Or they'll take your vehicle back to Bill Curry Ford, work on it, and get it back to you. No extra charge for the transportation. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, later we'll talk about Florida's Elite Restoration. Everybody's got to have that name. Florida's Elite Restoration. Know it, memorize it, get to their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. Storm damage, water damage in your home, flood, fire, mold. If you have an issue, you call 24/7. Ira, how are you, buddy?
I'm back in the ball game, Steve. That's the story of my week.
What happened?
A little thing called COVID. A little thing called COVID, which I hear is on the rise. I thought we stamped this damn thing out, but apparently we didn't. Good news is mild symptoms. Bad news, had to sleep in the other room for 5 days. I'm going back where I belong starting today. I think I know how I got it. Had breakfast with somebody 10 days ago, and 2 days later, got a text from the guy that said he tested positive for COVID. The only thing I think of is I can't give it to my wife with her underlying conditions. And she didn't get it.
Or me. That's why I'm sitting so far away from
That's why I've stayed away from you guys. Tested today, negative. Same place I tested positive. Nurse practitioner assures me that I am not contagious anymore, Lee.
Lee's got all his COVID antibodies from...
Well, Lee had COVID, so he's supposed to have a little protection.
Yeah, he's immune.
Allegedly. Anyway, the clinic I went to today, Steve, after I tested negative, she goes, we had 10 people in here yesterday that tested positive for COVID. So the good news is this strain seems to be mild symptoms.
So you're good.
I'm pretty good. And then when I watched the Bucks game Saturday night, my COVID symptoms improved. With a Buck victory.
Costanza's back, baby, as they say. All right, Ira.
And I just finished my top five Buccaneers of all time, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, we're going to get to your top five of all time, and the Buccaneers have been rolling out their top 50, which I think has turned some heads, and, you know, it's a fun time to talk about that a little bit as we get toward the season. August 26th is the cutdown day in the NFL, down to 53-man roster, so we're days away from that only. And
I can tell you right now what we're going to hear from Bowles and Jason Light. This year was the toughest year we ever had to make decisions. He said that for the last 9 years.
Rewind the tape recorder from 2015.
And I'm here to say right off the bat, this is the spin I'm putting on this podcast right now, Lee. And I said it before, and I know this is before the McMillan injury, and we knew no more about Godwin and Wirfs. Don't panic, Buck fans. This is a really good team. You're going to make the playoffs for a sixth straight season. You're going to win the division again. This is a very good roster. They will deal with this. They will cope with this.
Fans are mad at me for bringing this up, but I don't believe in being an ostrich. Mike Evans, his traditional hamstring injury in the summer has yet to happen. I mean, is this going to be one of those golden years where he doesn't get hurt?
Does he look like he's 32?
Oh, hell no. He's having one of the best training camps, but looking good and not messing up your hammy, which you've done virtually every year since you've been in the league, are two different animals. If that happens, you're looking at a rookie as number one.
There's your opportunity for the rookie you've had your eye on for 6 months.
Still a rookie.
I understand. I think he's going to have a big year, and And I'm looking at Isbitz in the eye right now because we're both going to be in a fantasy league in a couple of weeks. I don't mind taking this rookie in a high round.
Whoa.
He's going to have a good season.
Ibuka should, and Alonso Ira, look, you got to give us at least a piece
Am I worried about the Falcons? Come on, let's be honest.
we're going to talk about that as well. You got to give me a little bit of flavor here. So you're in a room for 5 days. Do you let the dog in?
The dog came in every morning and woke me up. The dog jumped onto the bed.
Your wife woke you up? Yeah. Like banged on the door or what?
Yeah, yeah. I'll open the door.
Is your wife like sliding salami and crackers under the door for you to
eat? No, I did come out. But I slept a lot. You know, Lee, you've been through it. You slept.
Yeah.
But it was mild. Lee, never got a sore throat.
It just dawned on me. Your wife wakes you up. Was it on purpose? I mean, you're ill. Would she let you sleep?
Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. You got to get the sage up to see what's going on in
the world. She won't let her husband try to sleep it off. Harsh.
Glad you're back.
I'm back, baby. You're back,
and we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, you look fine, Ira.
Yeah,
I feel good. I wouldn't go that far, but we're glad you're back.
When I didn't know that I had COVID, it's a week ago. So
who'd you kiss?
I was playing tennis with my boys, and it was a hot day.
Your boys?
A hot day in the morning.
Okay, your bros.
And there was no breeze, so everybody was complaining about it. You know, even 8:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, like a blanket, a wet blanket out there. But I've played in that many, many times, hundreds of times. But I don't know. That Friday, when I didn't know that I had the COVID, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I was absolutely exhausted. Yeah. When I got home, my wife goes, what the hell happened? I said, I don't know. Yeah. I'm wiped out. And looking back, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had it at that time. Mm-hmm. And it exacerbated a tough decision. Don't ask me to spell that, Lee. I was drained.
All right.
After like one of these podcasts, I'm drained.
All right. Well, look, if your drain overflows and you have a nasty disaster and you don't know how it happened, if it broke, pipe broke, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. That's how you do it. And they will come out to your home, give you a free inspection. That free inspection is from experts. It's with top technology. Whatever is going on, they're going to attack it. And then they'll tell you how to proceed. And they know how to, bottom line, make sure you get your money from insurance companies. And you want to call them first before you call that insurance company, Florida's Elite Restoration. Check out their 5-star Google reviews. Put them in your disaster plan. Don't be a fool. Floridaselite.com. And Sage.
I'm raring to go, Steve.
All right. Well, I'll just let you loose. What are you sitting on?
I'm feeling my oats, and I'm going to prove it. And I'm looking Lee DeKemper right in the eye over here. I'm going to get you stirred up, Lee. You know, it's a good podcast. Here's my takeaway from Saturday's game against the Steelers. My takeaway is takeaways, Lee. Takeaways. Three against in the preseason opener. Lee, I gotta get you off this thing with turnovers. I gotta get you.
No, because that means
it's my mission this year on this podcast.
I will never.
And I will do it by midseason.
I will never deviate from fundamentals. Sorry.
Lee, here's your mistake. Here's your mistake.
There is no mistake in fundamentals.
You are trying to create an either-or playing good defense.
No.
Or taking the ball away. Why is it an either-or?
I actually spelled it out on Joe Bucks Fan a week ago. And I'll give you a perfect example. A guy that you worship, Father Dungy. I believe in fundamentals. When the Bucks can prove they can play good defense, then you add on to that. Meaning, then you can focus on takeaways. Dungy built one of the greatest defenses we'll ever see. When Chucky came, then he challenged them. Let's see you get some turnovers. Let's see you score some points. The foundation was already there. They added a second floor to that foundation. That's my issue with you guys were 20th in pass defense last year. You need to play better pass defense first. Then you can start trying to bank on accidents. I don't believe in banking on accidents. If the ball's in your hands, I believe in catching it. But that's why these guys are not receivers. I don't think, which is a hallmark of Lovie Smith, lousy Lovie Smith. He tried to take a bad defense, like takeaways, 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 takeaways. Meanwhile, they couldn't tackle. They're trying to punch the ball out. They're getting dragged across the line for another first down. By the time the fourth quarter came, they were shot. I believe fundamentally you play good defense first and then you can start worrying about takeaways.
You can't force fumbles if you can't tackle. So they go hand in hand. Here's the part.
Not necessarily.
Here's the part you won't acknowledge, Lee. And I predict by November, you will come around.
No, I won't.
To the sage. Unless you're going to be stubborn.
Well, I believe in fundamentals. I'm never going to deviate from that.
Here's my simple analogy. Year after year after year. That's not a trend. That's proof. Year after year after year. Very few of the bottom half of the teams in turnover differential make the playoffs. And 80% of the teams at the top make the playoffs. Year after year after year. So how can you devalue turnovers?
Greg Schiano says hello.
All the coaches talk about it.
The Bucks were, what, second or third in takeaways in his second year? They were absolutely brutal. So, no. Tom Brady threw three picks in the NFC Championship game. What happened? The Bucks won.
So you're saying all those numbers don't mean anything?
I say if you play lousy defense, you aren't going to do a damn thing.
Sage, you guys love chirping about this.
By November,
this.
I'll have them on my side.
You know, look, Todd Bowles, obsessed with turnovers. Lee learned from Zion McCollum in Pittsburgh that they're having takeaway meetings, interception meetings, to just focus on that regularly.
You know better than Todd Bowles, Lee?
When you can prove to me that you play crap defense and that you can make the playoffs with turnovers, I want to see that.
Who says I want the Bucks to play crap defense?
I'm going back to point number one. If you can't play good defense, you should never, ever try to bank on accidents. I'm telling you, picks are accidents. You're banking on a quarterback to make a mistake.
No, picks are not accidents.
I think they are.
What about stepping in front of a pattern?
You could argue that's a mistake because the receiver let him step in front.
Or you could argue it's a good defensive play. I'm moving that up from November to October. I'll get to Kemper by October.
Here is my DNA, Ira. Play good defense. Period. Period.
Why are you making it a choice? I don't know.
Because if you don't play good defense, you aren't going to do a damn thing.
Ira, you are making it a choice. You're telling them one's more important than the other. The answer is in between, because if you went up to Todd Bowles, who constantly stresses takeaways, and you said to him, pick a list of stats for a year. If you said, hey, if we take away three takeaways but give you seven more three and outs, which one would you take? And eventually he's going to have a number where he'd prefer the fundamental defense that Lee's talking about that gets you off the field. So the answer is in between.
I'm going to stick to my turnover chart.
I don't think turnovers or takeaways are accidents, but we can track it because some of them are. To a degree, quarterback overthrows a receiver by 4 yards and the safety cradles the ball. That's not exactly precision defense. But some of these plays, like Zion McCollum, perfect example, Saturday night, jumped the route, was all over it, was aggressive, used his technique and his athleticism. Great pick. The Bucks need a lot more of that to win the games they want to win.
A takeaway is not the same as a punt. A takeaway is much more valuable.
Most of the time.
Because some of them are going to give you tremendous field position. Punts probably won't.
But a punt will save wear and tear on your body because that's less plays. And that adds up in the fourth quarter.
But a takeaway gets you off the field immediately.
Maybe.
Lee, I'm bumping you up to September. I'm going to have you on my side in about 3 weeks.
If Todd Bowles stressed wrapping up and tackling equally with his fetish for takeaways.
How do we know he's not, Lee? How do we know he's not?
Well, how much do you hear him talk about wrapping up?
He's not happy with the tackling. I can tell you that. He's not happy.
If Todd Bowles stressed equally, wrapping up and getting guys to the ground equally as much as he stressed takeaways, that'd be okay.
All right, I'll answer your question. At the Combine in February, when Todd Bowles had his famous ball hawks, quote, ball hawks, ball hawks, ball hawks, that's what we need. I asked him, what is the next step for the defense? I had asked the question, you know, what do you need? He didn't say tacklers, tacklers, tacklers. He said ball hawks, ball hawks, ball hawks, because he wants another 4 or 5 interceptions. And that's where the stressing is going. He didn't tell everybody, you know, we got a whole new tackling circuit this year. He keeps cutting practice early. This whole training camp the other day wrapped up about 40 minutes early. Now, he also said at his news conference, I think it was the great Leo Haggerty asked him something about.
Don't make me drop my microphone over.
Leo's a good guy.
Leo asked him something about preparation, over-preparing, overworking teams and under-preparing. And he said, we'll never under-prepare, whatever. And it was a funny answer to a degree because it came right after you cut practice 40 minutes. And, you know, you could have worked 20 minutes on tackling dummies and stuff like that. So I'm not knocking balls. He always has his teams ready for opening day. He knows what he's doing, but we can nitpick him, Ira.
Well, that's what I'm going to be looking for tonight, Lee, because the starters aren't playing. So I'm looking for another three takeaways, and then all of a sudden you go in, you know, into the Atlanta game against an inexperienced quarterback with some confidence on your side that you're going to turn him over a little bit. And, Lee, at the same time, give a lot more opportunities to a hell of an offense that the Bucks happen to boast. More opportunities.
I'm probably going to be looking for whatever beer sponsors on WDAE.
Steve, you said 5 more interceptions. I don't think Bowles is going to be happy with that. The number is 7. I think he wants to add about 10 to that.
Well, 7 was horrible last year.
7's horrible.
We can study those numbers. We'll talk about that. I'll pull them up.
Now, a better pass rush is certainly going to help in that regard, Lee.
Now, you want to get me going. There we go. But I'm going to – I'm walking away from that.
Takeaways, the turnovers, the interceptions in Saturday's game. Did you have another takeaway from that game?
A little killer instinct, Lee, with the game in the balance. The Bucs prevail. The Bucs make the plays they need to. They turn the ball over, force a takeaway. Beautiful play. And, Lee, when they needed to keep the clock going and make the winning kick with no time left on the clock, they got the first down that they needed. That's a little bit killer instinct. Now, again, I'm not going to read too much into
it. Yeah, thank you.
But they can only do what they can do in a preseason game.
Sure. You know, I try to look at preseason games. How do they affect the regular season? It's hard for me to get past the McMillan injury. And I just thought of this morning. Now, on your podcast, Ira, which everybody can listen to on all the regular platforms, including JoeBucksFan.com, I mentioned on your podcast that, you know, for some weird reason, people are trying to bury Teddy Bridgewater for McMillan getting hurt. And I just think that's a whole lot of dot connecting. No one seems to be going after the camp meet that undercut him. And this is just one of many reasons why I despise the preseason. This, I think, was a classic example of some camp meet. The guy's name is Daryl Porter, trying to make a splash play to try to get a highlight, to try to get a job.
But he didn't try to hurt him, Lee. He didn't
say he was trying to hurt him, but he's trying to make a splash play. And that is right there. Tried to make a splash play against a starting receiver. This guy might be out half the season.
The ball did float, Lee. It floated.
It floated, but good grief. You're telling me that Baker Mayfield is the model of absolute perfection? Even Tom Brady had bad passes. Oh, Teddy Bridgewater didn't have rapport with the receivers. He was rusty. Did he look like he had some rapport when he threw to Buka for a touchdown?
He threw two of the most gorgeous passes you can throw in the red zone.
I just can't. I know a lot of people are immediately trying to blame. I can't go there.
One point that needs to be made. So if you're going to give him credit, which I am, and Lee's, you know, with the 3 takeaways, I'm going to give you the flip side, Lee, and you saw it. The running game stunk in the first half.
They weren't getting any blocking at all.
No blocking at all. No. Irving had no chance.
Which was kind of disturbing because that's a first-team offense.
And they ran the ball so well in week one of the preseason. Mm-hmm. Pass protection was what? Okay. Way too much penetration by Pittsburgh's defensive line.
Yeah.
And T.J. Watt wasn't out there. You know, and I didn't see Cam Hayward.
I was going to say Hayward was not out there either.
So that's
and he had a rookie defensive tackle out there?
Yeah, they stunk. But it's small sample size.
It is.
And, you know, Graham Barton talked a little bit about...
I don't like Bucky Irvin getting hit like that. I don't like it. I'm sure he didn't either.
You know, look, I've watched the game 3 times. Bucky Irving's first, I think it was his first run, maybe his second, he turned a 2.5-yard gain into like a 3-yard loss. And he was trying to have a little fun with it, where I don't know if he even does that in the regular season, but he was in. The line gave him the push. He got met at like 2 yards and tried to reverse out and got a loss. So that was on Irving, but the other ones, you know, the blocking wasn't strong, but I don't really care. Charlie Heck let one guy run through, and it wasn't terrible, and Bridgewater, who's not exactly Lamar Jackson, was able to drift to the right and get rid of the ball for a completion. So that's going to happen. They're going to give Heck help in the regular season, and he didn't have help on that play.
This may be the most controversial statement made on our podcast, and Lee, you got to straighten me out, but I'm going to say it. I think Braswell's playing better.
Well.
I think he's playing a little better, Lee. I don't want to go crazy. He's not shaking up my world.
Chris Braswell.
But he's playing a little better.
Lee's ready to throw a tomato.
I didn't say he's playing great. I said he's playing better.
Lee's ready to hurl a tomato at you.
He's taking all the one-liners away from me. You're right. I mean, being noticed on a football field as opposed to being invisible, he's playing better. But that ain't saying anything. He's really got to step it up.
He's a good special teams player. He's making some plays.
He's making plays on special teams. You know, you look for a second-year guy to improve his body.
His get-off looks
a little stronger and better. So that's a good sign. His get-off looks a little better, but he's not really playing against anybody, and I'm not really sure what he can do. But they're excited about him, and I think they kind of have to be because they lost David Walker, who they were so excited about, the rookie. All of a sudden, right? So they draft David Walker, 4th-round pick, Central Arkansas.
Talk him up from day one.
They're doing jumping jacks, high-fiving, going crazy. This is a Super Bowl piece. And everybody's, literally, the organization was talking about how the guy's tearing up OTAs with no pads. We are not foolish. You tell me, on one hand, that offensive linemen, you can't really judge them until the pads are on. And then you're telling me an edge rusher is kicking ass? Now, I understand he might be smart and he's learning quickly, showing his quickness, not knocking the kid. He's out, blew his knee out. In comes Chris Braswell, and now you start celebrating him to another level. I got to see it. We got a lot to see.
No question about it. He's not a starter, Lee.
No.
He's not a starter. But if Reddick goes down off the left side,
oh, no.
I think Braswell's next man up on the left side. So I think he's playing a little better. He's just playing a little better.
Like I said before, at least you know he's alive.
By the way, let me weigh in first, Steve, before you even get there, because it's going to be a big topic.
Uh-oh.
I got Bridgewater as my number two, Lee. I got Bridgewater.
It's
over.
Whoa!
I got Bridgewater. You got to go with Bridgewater.
You know
what?
You know, I'm not going to make a sweeping conclusion off of one practice, but maybe this is what Trask needed. Because yesterday in practice, and you can, for verification, fans can go to joebucksfan.com and read my last practice notes, the last open practice of the year. Trask was throwing probably the best he has all training camp. He actually looked like an NFL quarterback. They were precise throws. They were on the money, on the line, no lollipops. That was probably the best practice he had.
You're saying he might have salvaged a bad training camp?
Well, I'm thinking he needed someone on his rear end. Like, oh my gosh, I better pick up my game or I might be out of a job. He'll have two good practices, maybe, and the third practice he'll fall apart.
I think Bowles is leaning towards Bridgewater.
I'm calling it right here. It's over.
You mean like I called Mayfield over Trask a few years ago?
It is over. Teddy Bridgewater is the backup quarterback. Todd Bowles won't commit to carrying three quarterbacks, but forget about two or three. He did what they wanted him to do. He's got all the experience in the world.
It's the experience.
It's over.
Bingo.
It is over.
Bingo.
He's the backup quarterback. Kyle Trask is probably going to start tonight, and he's showcasing for his career.
Bridgewater will play,
but it's done. I don't know if they're going to keep Trask around.
You think a decision's been made?
I think Trask has one last opportunity, and that is Saturday night.
You got to look that locker room in the face and be able to tell them why Kyle Trask is the backup. I don't know if a coach can do that right now.
I don't want to feed into conspiracy theory here, but I shall. You notice the players have really rallied to Bridgewater?
Yeah.
Now, I'll just say this, and this goes back a couple of years. Who would know Trask better than Todd Bowles? Todd Bowles' defense has gone against him for how many years? 5 years? I just don't think Todd Bowles has ever trusted Trask. Think about it. When Bowles, his second year after Brady left, Bowles was on the hot seat. Was he going to trust his career, his last job? He pretty much said, Tampa Bay is it for me. Was he going to trust his last job to a guy that at the time threw, what, three passes?
That's why I said Mayfield's going to be the starter.
And everybody
was telling me how Trask was outperforming him in training camp, and Trask got the edge on him. And Bowles, I didn't believe it.
Bowles' defense has gone against Trask for 5 years. I just don't believe he trusts him. And I don't blame him. This team's got a serious chance of making some damage in January. Do you trust a guy with 11 career passes with 2,000?
By the way, Steve, looking back at last week, Trask picked a terrible time to have a bad preseason game. And he was banned.
Yeah,
in
look, the backup offensive line isn't good. No. I hope and expect them to find somebody on the street in the next bunch of days. As we said to start, the cutdown day is August 26th for the final 53-man rosters. But they didn't bring Bridgewater here to go play with the starters, do well, and then, sorry, you're the number
go
three
back to coaching high school.
By the way, it's silly. I believe Robert Hainsey has won the starting center job.
In Jacksonville.
You're bringing up a subject that this gets kind of deep X's and O's. I know you don't like it. I get it. And it kind of roster junkie-ish. But I really believe the Bucs had two really good reserve offensive linemen last year that were part-time coaches. Tristan Wirfs went into detail how much Schooley helped him. He scouted. When those guys came off the field, the first guy they talked to wasn't a coach. It was school. And he would, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're okay with this, you're okay with that. And Tristan Wirfs was talking about how invaluable it was and may have saved a sack or two a game.
Doesn't Wirfs have enough experience that he needs to talk to Schooley?
To quote Tristan Wirfs, I don't have eyes in the back of my head. Mayfield likes to move in the pocket. We get that. Well, Wirfs didn't know how much room he had to, you know, plant his foot to set a good block.
Why are they paying an offensive line coach?
I don't care. What I do care about is Wirfs valued school's input. And basically, Wirfs was saying he probably saved a sack or two a game. And that's valuable. And we all heard about Hainsey, how much everybody loved Hainsey. And Liam Cohen would actually run game plans through Hainsey. At night, he would call Hainsey up. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I think that's a secret, hidden issue that they don't have that anymore. Can Heck do that? Sure he can. But we don't know if he will or can. Well, first off, Heck's going to be on the field for the first month. So
All right, Ira, look, you brought up Robert Hainsey. A lot of people are upset.
Yeah, they hate his name.
Around
hate
the Bay Area.
Him.
But
well, I've slapped him around plenty on this show.
He was signed for big money by Jacksonville, so that was understood. Yeah, now it's official. He's their starting center.
Good luck, Trevor Lawrence. Good luck.
The Trask thing, I don't know what they'll do, how they'll handle it.
You made a bold statement, Steve. I think he's done. Hesitate.
He may end up on the practice squad. You know, if he clears waivers, they can bring him back.
Anybody lining up for Kyle Trask, Lee, if he gets the practice squad?
Ira, it's interesting because Jason Light said on your podcast, you know, a few months ago.
18 months ago.
Okay, that's a few. And that no one has ever called him about Trask.
You think anything's changed since that moment in terms of Trask development?
I don't think so, because what's he done to raise someone's interest?
Let's get through this final preseason game, Lee. And let the games begin.
Well, that's exactly why, you know, after the McMillan injury, I think Bulls, you know, hey, we can see light at the end of the tunnel. Let's shut it down. We don't need any more injuries.
I sort of hope they keep three because I think there's some value in that, but I'm not sure they will.
Are we okay with Mayfield not taking a preseason snap?
Sure. Mayfield doesn't think he needs it, so that's number one. And I think part of that is psychological, the preseason snaps, because there are some guys who feel, Mike Evans, early in his career, told me multiple times, yeah, I feel like I need to get hit once and run five or six routes, and then I'm good. I got my balance. I got my feel for getting hit. And Mayfield said he doesn't feel he needs it.
Who's going to step up in McMillan's absence here, Lee? Is it going to be Miller?
Shepard.
Is it going to be Shepard?
Shepard.
Is Trey Palmer still going to make this team?
I don't think so. No one's told me anything. But
Raheem Jarrett? He's going to step up?
He's going to step up the UFL. That's where he's going to step up.
Real quick, I did actually ask Malk and Barton about Bridgewater, and they went right to command of the huddle and just the way he engages with everybody. And Luke McCown was on Sirius. Apparently he works for the Saints website now, and former Bucks quarterback. And they were asking him about who's going to get the job in Rattler or Shook, because they're going down to the last third preseason game. They haven't declared a starter in New Orleans. And he was talking about, he just went into all these little things that he, as a longtime quarterback, could see in practice, saying that, look, Spencer Rattler is just, you can tell by this little nuance, the way the players react to this, the way he's looking here, what he's doing here, that he's just far ahead. And I bet you some of the Bucks players are looking at Bridgewater saying, man, this guy's like a starting quarterback in ways that they haven't seen from Kyle Trask.
You got to think Bridgewater's going to win that backup job, Lee. You got to think so.
Well, you know, I don't want to bury Trask. He's starting for a reason. If the Bucks already came to that conclusion, he wouldn't be starting.
So, Ira, you asked a question. So, look, the Bucks have Mike Evans ready for week one.
Egbuka ready.
Egbuka is ready. Sterling Shepard is ready.
I think Shepard could be the guy, Lee. I think you're right.
They'll be just fine for week one. But after that, it is a mystery. We know McMillan's going to be out at least half a season. We know that Chris Godwin is going to be out several weeks. We've got Ryan Miller, who is not much of a player, but a legitimate NFL player, bottom of the roster.
A few weeks ago, we were talking about receivers as the depth position on this team. The strength of the team.
Trey Palmer's an X factor. Because we know he can play, but they kind of don't like him.
Do they?
And Tez Johnson, you know, the guy is still learning the playbook, and he weighs 160 pounds now.
Great opportunity for Shepard if he stays healthy. Great opportunity.
Sure, and I thought he was going to make the team regardless, so I'm not.
If he cuts down on his bonehead plays, he can make some plays. And Mayfield's got the comfort level.
They're old teammates. They're good friends. Real quick on Mayfield. The way Mayfield was throwing the ball in Pittsburgh, he's ready. He's Atlanta ready, as Lovey would say.
You know who's going to catch a lot of balls? Irving and White. Checkdowns.
Yeah, they're going to have to, and I think they're going to want to. Right now, on the betting line, Ira, right now, the over-under for Egbuka, I think it's like 82 catches.
That's a lot of catches, which is ridiculous. For a rookie.
Like, there's not a lot of rookies in the history of the NFL who've caught that many passes, and if they're relying on him
that's
much.
That's a Michael Clayton season over there, really.
Let's not get carried away.
Yeah, Clayton actually had 80.
Really good rookie season.
How many touchdowns they got Egbuka for?
I don't know. I don't have in front of me, Ira. But
can he do enough, Lee, early in the season to get those double teams off Mike Evans' ass a little bit?
Yes. Up in Pittsburgh, it was, Evans went absolutely bananas. Number two star, Emeka Egbuka. He was sharp.
And three might be Mayfield.
Yes.
That's right.
All right, Ira, we got more to talk about on this receiver front and some of the things the Bucs may be doing in the next few days.
Let me speak for all Buc fans, Steve, right now. Bring on the Falcons. On the Falcons.
Yes.
That's the sentiment of all Buc fans.
15 days from opening day.
Bring on
days.
Penix. Bring them on.
Now, the Falcons, let's get to that, Ira. their right tackle, Caleb McGarry, good, very strong player, 30 years old, established veteran, a lot of good years, making big money.
The man Hassan Reddick wants to mess up in week one in Atlanta.
He's going to miss games. So he's out. And his backup recently had surgery. So they're going to be scraping at right tackle. Not a good situation for the Falcons. I don't feel badly for them at all.
They got a good offense, Lee. It's the strength of the team.
Sure.
What are the Bucs going to learn, Ira, about Hassan Reddick on opening day when he gets to feast on that situation?
I think he's going to let it all hang out. We're going to see all his moves. And I think he's got a lot of them, Lee. He sure didn't show them last year. He's got them in reserve. It's not like he's overused them last year with his one sack, right, Steven?
Two halves.
Yeah. I think Reddick's a critical factor, Lee, because if he doesn't pan out, here we are again. Waiting on Braswell, waiting on Marquise Watts, whoever you want to throw in there, and it could affect Diaby because if Reddick's the real deal, takes a lot of pressure off Diaby, and he'll have a better year. I'm squarely looking at Reddick in week one. I'm going to be in Atlanta, and I'm going to have my binoculars focused on Mr. Reddick
every time
the Bucs take the field on defense.
I got a feeling that you're going to see him covering a lot of tight ends and running backs. You know, it's hard to get a sack when you're back in pass coverage.
There's got to be a reason Bowles wants to do that once in a while. There's got to be a reason.
I don't care what the reason is. I am just so down the dumps, despondent, and I'm resigned to the fact that Todd Bowles...
I don't like to see you resigned, Lee.
I'm just resigned to the fact that Todd Bowles really doesn't care about an edge rush.
Now,
and I, before you get going, Ira, I firmly believe to be good, if not great at something, you have to have a desire. I don't think Bowles has any desire to see it. And if it's an accident and it happens like Shaq Barrett, great. But I just don't see it. I don't expect it. And that's why Bowles cannot develop edge rushers.
I think you're going to be proven wrong.
I hope he proves me wrong as the day is long. I'm about ready to get on my knees and beg, but I just don't see it.
Steve, to be fair, and I'm using Julius Peppers as an example, the Panthers dropped him in coverage on occasion. And I think he ended up with like 8 interceptions or something. I mean, it was a big number. It's a reason why he's in the Hall of Fame. Not the only reason. Because he was a great all-around
JPP,
player. They dropped him into coverage.
JPP and Shaq Barrett had picks with the Bucs as well.
Yeah. As long as they don't do it a lot, Lee.
Like, I won't deviate from fundamentals first. Bowles won't deviate from pass coverage first.
Didn't he make a play in coverage, Reddick?
Yes, he did.
In practice.
In one of the games, Lee. I think he did.
I think so.
He did against the Steelers in that joint practice. But, look, this situation here for opening day, Todd Bowles has got to be able to take advantage. And I think it leads me to believe the Falcons, which are a run-first team to begin with, they're going to be trying to run the ball down the Bucs' throat, and let's see if the Bucs can really handle this. And they're probably going to run right at Reddick to see how motivated he is. He's not known for being great against the run. You want to run against Diaby, who's 30 pounds heavier and an animal, or you want to go against Reddick and see how motivated this guy is. I'm very, very interested to see Hassan Reddick. I'm rooting for him.
I want to see the swarm, Lee. I want to see the swarm, and Bowles wants to see the swarm.
Gang tackle.
Servassier Dennis survived the summer. I think that's a big deal. I really do.
Haven't heard a word about an injury for
Bowles
yet.
Bowles is supposed to have no starters playing tonight, but there's a chance that he'll still have Dennis out there with the green dot getting used to.
Is Parrish going to play, Steve?
Well, we don't know.
To me, he's a semi-starter.
I agree.
Bowles, I hope not. And they're probably not, and probably not Dennis either, but he survived, which I think is a big deal. And a lot of fans aren't as cynical as we are, but this guy made it through.
Not many people are cynical as I am.
The spring and the summer with no injuries, when that's his hallmark, and the Bucs said, well, he's fine. What are we going to do? He's talented. He knows the defense. He's good.
By the way, Lee, and I know maybe it's a non-issue because he appears to have bounced back, but do I need Winfield getting nicked up last week?
No.
I don't like it, Lee.
No, I don't either.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. I especially, it's a quote-unquote lower leg issue. So was last year.
I'm starting to worry about him.
Here's a bigger issue. Now, we don't know what happened to Winfield, but he's back practicing. Great. He missed like a week. Okay. Now, Levante David, when he sat down with Kay Adams at One
Lucky
Buck.
Guy.
He had his interview with her, and she asked him about being out a little bit in camp, which he was. And he said it was tied to an old injury.
This is David you're talking about.
Yeah. Old injuries, like, you know, sometimes they come back, they come up and remind you that they're there or they weren't perfect.
Well, didn't he get hurt in the last last game of the year?
Kudos to her. She asked him, she pressed him, well, how old? What do you mean? What's going on? And he said it went back to 2019. Now, I went back and did the research, and while I can't guarantee what he was talking about, it seems like he tweaked a knee because that was the only
injury. 6 freaking years ago.
Bruce Arians said that Levante had a nagging knee issue, and he tried to keep him off the turf in the Glazer shed.
Yeah. What's that got to do with 2025?
Lingering.
Arians wouldn't let him practice inside for just that reason. But what it has to do with 2025 is he missed time in training camp. The Bucks just said it's no big deal. But David said it was an old wound coming back. And he went out of his way after she pushed him It was 2019. So he may have some lingering knee thing. And I'm only comparing that to Antoine Winfield, who we don't know what it was. It could have been next to nothing.
I want a healthy Winfield out there, Lee. It makes a big difference.
I want to be pushed by Kay Adams, who gets our first wish.
With the big floppy hat. You're not looking at her hat, right, Lee? I understand.
No.
I said, Lee, you heard me many times a couple of years ago how fortunate. I said Buck fans don't want to hear this, but they've been very fortunate overall about injuries. And a guy might miss 2 or 3 weeks, and to me that's not a major injury. And they've been very lucky at quarterback. Lee, you know, fate's got a way of grabbing you, and ultimately you pay a price. This has not been an injury-free camp, Lee. There's some stuff going on.
Sure there is. Didn't Joe Cocker have a song?
Joe Cocker.
Leave your hat on, very sultry song?
Yeah, very sultry.
Okay,
very
now we're going back to football. You're talking about injuries, and we're whining about the receivers and their injuries. Can someone please point me to Anthony Walker, who's supposed to be this great middle linebacker, who's backing up a guy who can't stay on the field for half his career? Dennis? If Dennis goes down, and where's Anthony Walker? Now you're SOS.
You were pretty high on Anthony Walker as a quality backup, Steve.
Well, he hasn't played all summer. He's got some sort of non-football injury. They haven't said what it is. I'm guessing he's going to start the season on the injury list. So that's all I can assume.
Razor thin there.
Does that open the door for Deion Jones?
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, Deion Jones is the backup there. And we'll see which undrafted rookies make the team for deeper depth. But Sage, Chris Godwin, Adam Schefter had the report. Godwin is going to start practicing, allegedly, week 2 of the regular season. And they're not going to put him on the PUP list, which would have eliminated his availability from practice and to play through the first 4 weeks of the season.
But not putting him on the PUP list affects your flexibility spots. With cutdowns.
Yeah, affects roster spots for sure. Same thing with Tristan Wirfs, no PUP list. And the Godwin thing, Schefter did go out of his way to say that he won't play until October, which, of course, that's a big window to return, and nobody really knows because he's not on the field yet. So we love to hear Todd Bowles say, oh, last year, you know, Hassan Reddick with the Jets, he didn't come back till October. I had a lot of rust to knock off. You don't be there in the spring or summer.
So the same thing should apply to Godwin.
Same thing should apply to Godwin. You can't play both sides of the fence. Now Godwin's
and Reddick never recovered. Reddick never really recovered.
Not last year, no.
Well, I think Reddick's biggest problem wasn't rust, it was heart.
And it wasn't an injury.
Yeah, heart's not an injury. Unless you get punched in the heart or something.
Well, rust is rust, and game shape. So we'll see what happens with Godwin, but I think it's fair to say now, with this new news, that Godwin is not going to be this team's number 2 receiver this year, and he's not going to be the guy they hope him to be for most of the year. Maybe he's got a shot come December, January. What are your thoughts?
I think it's well put. Maybe you're looking at 2026 for the real Godwin of old.
I agree.
To come back, and he's making a lot of money, and he's not going anywhere. Lee, I share your confidence in this rookie, Ogbuka. I do. I don't think it's all hype. There's a lot of hype.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's all hype.
It's deserved.
And boy, he is smooth. It's earned.
Yeah.
Even the touchdown catch. I mean, that was a really nice play. A really nice throw and a really nice catch. Because, Lee, the coverage was very good. He didn't get a lot of separation.
Went down and got it. You used the word smooth. That's the word I always use. He just looks so smooth.
Do we have a new offensive lineman on this team, Ira, after cuts? Are the Bucs going to bring in a veteran swing tackle? They gave the nonsense the other day, Rob McCartney, the assistant GM. Oh, a good tackle doesn't fall on the street, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it does. It happens all the time. Jason Light is...
Nobody's looking for Trent Williams over here. You're looking for
competency.
Competency.
Gazdar Chereles, when they signed him in 2015, he was on the street, and he...
He did all right.
He had 100 games under his belt and was ready to play. And they had a great running game that year.
So. I think the Bucks are going to be aggressively in scooping up some guys that are late cuts.
Steve, do I dare detect a hint of non-faith in this Chickamauga guy?
Chukwuma?
Spell it, Lee.
Hell no, I'm not going to try.
They brought him to the podium, didn't they?
Well, somebody requested to talk to him. Okay. He's the undrafted project, great athlete.
Seems like a good guy.
And, you know, I'm all in favor of those guys. That's what practice squads are for. Try to find Jules. The professional wrestler who needs a couple of years to figure out football or the Australian rules kicker. You know, that's what the practice squad is for, especially since they've expanded it.
Rugby players.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
By the way, their kicking game's in good shape, Lee. McLaughlin's tremendous.
Riley Dixon, how about 63-yard punt the other night?
I mean, they've upgraded it, punter.
Every time he says Riley Dixon, I think of Riley Cooper. I don't know why.
And Tez Johnson brought a punt back, Lee. I said 37 yards, and he did it. And then he screwed up another punt.
You notice the players talking about Tez Johnson? The coaches talking about Tez Johnson? Tez Johnson on the last practice, open practice, before cutdown date, is up there at the podium. You don't hear anything about Trey Palmer.
Absolutely right. He's in trouble.
And Ira, 0% financing, zero money down, zero payments for 90 days. It's an extraordinary summer sales event that is ending soon at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers, family owned since 1960. Bill Curry Ford. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, but they've got mobile service. They'll come out to your home. They will bring your vehicle back if it can't be repaired at your property. No extra charge at all. Great facility, great family care. Ask for the Joe Bucks Fan discount. But more important, go to BillCurryFord.com. You can see what they're all about, the Curry family, all the charities that they're involved in, and shop their transparent and fantastic pricing, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, your thoughts on where Chris Godwin is, what they've been telling us, haven't told us, the new report that came out with him starting to practice week two, and then maybe in October he'll be ready to play.
You know what bothers me the most about these injuries, these nagging injuries? Some are more serious than others. Godwin's a perfect example, Steve. It's like the lack of information, the shadowy nature of when this guy's going to come back, whether it's Wirfs, Godwin, McMillan, Morrison. We don't know about these guys. I mean, can I have some kind of firm date about what kind of injury they have? Everything seems to be a little bit up in the air, and these are critical guys. Godwin was a guy that was going to ease the way for Igbuka, where he didn't have to do that much in the first month of the season. He could learn from Godwin. You were telling me 3 months ago how the backup cornerback, had the same injury as Godwin, and he's back, you know, practicing.
Yeah, Bryce Hall.
Bryce Hall, although he did admit, Steve, that Godwin's injury was quite a bit more severe. And all-encompassing. I don't know when we're going to see Chris Godwin. What a shame, Steve, because, boy, it's easy to forget how great he was through 6 weeks last year. He was fantastic. He was having the best year he's ever had as a Buccaneer. He was on the short list for best receivers in football. He looked like he was going to catch about 120 balls. Just fantastic. The yards after catch went up, and then what a gruesome injury. This could be a lost year for Chris Godwin. It's starting to look like a lost year.
Do you think they add a receiver? Do they spend the money that they don't want to spend, add a veteran receiver just because they will look at what they got on their plate and say, Evans and Shepard are 32. They can't play a full season, especially combined. And Abuka's great. And McMillan, we don't know what he's going to even be like when he's back missing half the season with a bad neck.
Well, I don't know why I'm obsessed with this one guy, Steve. I mention his name every other podcast, and I still think he has a little bit of value. And I think you can get him for a sixth-round draft pick. Now, he is on a division rival, but this Adam Thielen, I don't care how old he is. With a quarterback like Mayfield rather than Bryce Young, I think the guy could be a hell of a fill-in, and it won't cost you anything. Now, do the Panthers want to make a deal with the Bucks? I don't know that. And the Panthers are hurting at wide receiver, but they did draft a guy in the first round. Maybe somebody like an Adam Thielen that can give you, you know, some good games, develop a rapport with Mayfield. I'm not sure they have all that confidence in these receivers that are behind Godwin, but I look at the offensive line, Steve, and maybe even linebacker, as I think positions where I think it's even more likely that they go out and get somebody.
Well, Thielen, he's beloved in Carolina after a couple of years there. Dave Canales loves him. He hurt the Bucs last year. We watched him do some damage on the Bucs.
He caught two touchdowns against the Bucs.
And he had five touchdowns last year and, I don't know, something like 50 catches. But he can play. They're never going to trade him. But Amari Cooper's a guy floating out there that people are interested in. Is he really worth it? Does he have anything left in the tank? But, man,
Amari Cooper's the guy that I thought Egbuka reminded me of as a route runner.
Yeah.
Cooper's a very sharp route runner.
And if you look at the history of Jason Light, he's been obsessed for a long time with having an elite third receiver. He believes in that. DeSean Jackson came here. I need three elite receivers. And then it kept going from there. They felt they needed those numbers. Look at, I'm not saying Perriman was an elite third receiver when he got here, but he was a former
Antonio Brown.
He was a former first round pick that Bruce Arians liked and with a ton of speed. And he played very well in his time here as a number three. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, we need to pay $6 million to be the number three. Right now we got Sterling Shepard, 32-year-old injury-prone guy. We'll see. I like Shepard, but we'll see how strongly they consider what the immediate future is.
And I'm not sure they think Tez Johnson's ready to step into that role.
No.
I don't think
he's a returner.
Yeah.
He's a returner.
Yeah.
Lee, game tonight, third preseason game, no starters, but there's got to be something that you're looking at tonight, some sort of battle. Maybe it's Shiloh Sanders. Maybe it's the fourth string running back to see if we really have one that's legitimate. Something from the tight ends who've been very quiet this summer. What are you looking at tonight?
My stock of beer in the fridge.
After that.
Okay. I guess Shiloh Sanders. I mean, only because he's a good guy, and he seems to be popular with fans, really popular with fans. And I know it's a little shocking for Ira to hear, but he is. Sitting in the bleachers, he's a popular guy, seems like a fun guy, a smart guy. You want to see guys like that succeed. I always want to see good fundamental tackling.
Takeaways, Lee. Takeaways.
If it happens, it happens.
Easy, Ira.
I'm really trying to think, and there really isn't anything.
How about Bridgewater and Trask?
Doesn't interest me because...
You're hoping that none of them get any snaps.
No, I'm not anti either one. I really don't believe the Bucs have made their firm decision yet. They're probably... I'm sure they're leaning, but I don't think Trask could be starting if they already knew what they were going to do. I think this is possibly his last hope. He'll get cut, maybe, but he won't go far. They'll do the dance with him every other week. Practice squad, 53-man. Practice squad, 53-man. So you'll hear Trask named quite a bit this fall, only because of juggling on the transaction wire.
I'm going to look at Miller, Steve. I'm going to look at Miller. Can he do it again? He's had a nice preseason.
I think he'll make the team because of special teams.
I think all those receivers, they have to look like they might be able to help. You know, Trey Palmer hasn't played this preseason, but he's been back practicing. Big night for him.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels. And with Trask, I got to say, Lee, I think Trask, if they cut Trask and try to put him on the practice squad, he might say no. What's my future here? I got no future here.
Number one, he wants to be employed without moving.
Somebody else might want him on the practice squad.
There you go. He'll be on the Bucs practice squad, which opens him up to getting selected by someone else if someone else deems him good enough. But he'll be on the Bucs practice squad at worst. At worst.
Ira, you think Trask says screw you and calls Dave Canales and says, put me on your practice squad for cheap.
No,
I'll play cheap.
No, I don't think he does anything preemptive like that. But somebody might take a flyer on him. I'm like Lee. I'm not rooting against him. You know, he just hasn't shown me enough over the years that I can have confidence in him.
Well, as we spoke earlier, it's the experience Bowles covets, and obviously Bridgewater has that. Trask does not.
What we like about the preseason game, at least I do, is Buffalo got blown out last week by the Bears.
Embarrassed.
I think it was 38-0.
It was.
It's not like they're going to play starters, but there's going to be a heightened level of fire in those guys, and that's a good test for the Bucs. I like that test.
A lot of people like Buffalo to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
A hell of a lot of
people. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and also tonight, which a lot of fans may not realize, and if you're a serious Bucs fan, it's always good, the broadcast on WFLA typically features Jason Light,
yes,
the general manager, joining the broadcast for maybe 12 minutes or so, talking about things, and sometimes he lets things slip out, or he has that planned, and sometimes you could have somebody else there as well, a Bucs player that may be sitting out in the booth, checking in, or Rondé Barber spilling things that he's not supposed to share, which is one of his favorite pastimes. And it's possible the way the Bucs have been rolling out their top 50 Buccaneers, you could see Ryan Jensen or Martin Gramatica, who were in town. We saw them on the Buccaneers YouTube. But Ira, you rolled out your top 50. That's at joebucksfan.com. I'm not going to read the entire list, But I will let fans know that it's a lot different in some ways than what the Bucs are putting out there. You don't have guys like Cameron Brait on there and some others.
Dave Moore didn't make my list.
Ryan Jensen didn't make my list. And wow. So, Ira, your final top 10, Leroy Selman, number one, followed by Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, Rondé Barber, Mike Evans, Levante David, John Lynch, Tom Brady, Tristan Wirfs, and Simeon Rice.
Lee, one of the first points I'm going to make, and I think you're right there with me. 5 years from now, Tristan Wirfs could be in the top five. He could be. I think he's the best player on the 2025 Bucks when healthy, and has been.
More than David?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he's a better player than Levante David is right now. He could be an all-timer. He could be an all-timer. I mean, he could be talked about like Jonathan Ogden,
ooh,
Walter Jones. Well, he's that good. So he could crack the top five if I do another list in another 5 years. And I went with Selman number one. And you know Ron Wolf like I do. He's not prone to hyperbole. And when he says that he's as unique a player as ever played in the NFL, rare. And his impact on the community, to me, that counts. This is not the Hall of Fame where it's just between the lines. And that's where Mike Evans gets extra credit. And Levante.
David.
And Lynch.
Brooks, yeah.
And does Warren Sapp lose credit for that?
I didn't ding him. I had a tough time between Barber and Sapp. Like, you know it. I was asking a lot of people. But I just think for overall impact, I nudge Sapp ahead of Barber. But I like Barber playing 16 years with the Buck organization. That you can't deny that. So I'm happy with my list. It's over. And now I can't wait for that Buck 50-year documentary to come out. I can't wait.
You made an analogy for Wirfs, and I thought it was very astute. You didn't go with the guy from the Bengals who played at USC.
Anthony Munoz.
Yeah, you didn't overstate.
I didn't go that high.
Overstate it, but Ogden is a great. He's very similar.
Wirfs is fantastic. Does he ever get beat?
Once.
With all these injuries we've talked about as we wrap up here.
No, Joe, I am not.
Are you moving off your 11 wins?
No, I am not.
Nothing can move you off those 11
I'm not
wins.
Well, Mayfield could. No, I'm not moving off it. That's the best team in the division. I think there's a big gap between the Bucs and anybody else in this division. It's a gap.
Are you suggesting that the only way the Bucs blow this up is the Bulls makes mistakes?
I knew you were going there, Lee. No, this.
And I'm not anti-Bulls, by the way.
Mayfield, health, key factor.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I don't care if it's Bridgewater or Trask. I don't really trust either one of them if they're going to play, you know, 12 games. So some guys, the more you see them, the more they get exposed. You know who I thought was like that? Ryan Fitzpatrick. The more you saw him, the more he got exposed.
Yeah.
But he could do something for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes.
Which he did.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 2018.
Started
the world on fire. So anyway, I'm sticking with 11 and say I might bump him up to 12. Check with me in a couple of weeks.
All right. You're not moving off that number. I don't know what my number is yet, but you got to just be better than the other team. And I really like this Falcons development, that injury. I don't wish the guy ill, but you know what? I don't have any faith in their being able to.
The Bucs still have a lot of really good players, Lee. That's going to carry him.
Lee, has these injuries moved you off your spot with whatever you were thinking of the Bucs?
It's got me antsy.
I don't like this McMillan one, Lee. That's half a season.
I
at best.
Yes, I don't like it. I don't like the previous mystery around Godwin. Now it's not so much a mystery, but he's still going to miss an unknown amount of time. Wirfs, I think they're expecting him fourth week, third week, in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And I was hoping Morrison could press Jamel Dean, and it hasn't happened.
It's not happening.
If you want to argue Parrish, that's a different story. Me, I still think down per down basis, Dean's the best cornerback on the team. I'm not talking about interceptions. I'm not talking about this.
Him better than McCollum, and I don't.
Little bit. See, part of that is he's got a body of work. Whereas McCollum really doesn't. McCollum has the athletic ability to overcome Dean, but not there yet.
Still contract year for Mr. McCollum. Contract year.
Contract year for Mike Evans. Contract Luke. Year for Levante David.
Yes.
Endless string of guys here. Contract year for Hassan Reddick, who Jason Light said, I hope he's here a while. Hopefully he's here a while. So, yeah, well, a lot of questions.
Here's something very interesting. Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com. He retweeted something of Rappaport. There was a Carolina's right tackle re-signed. So that's probably going to be the barometer for Luke Getteke. And Greg Rosenthal always does free agent lists. Like, you know, who's most valuable. And he pointed out something I thought was very interesting, Ira. Every year, less and less do valuable players hit free agency. Teams wrap these guys up. So I'm starting to wonder, and Steve has brought this up before, kind of wonder when Getteke's going to, is that going to be And a couple, like, didn't Wirfs re-sign in training camp? Now, I know, you know, Wirfs was, like, his agent's like, get off the field. Could we see Getke threaten something like that?
Fair to say Getke's not going anywhere, Lee.
I don't think so, but do you think he may, number one, play that card that Wirfs did? Like, I'm not going to Atlanta until you re-sign me. Or will Light just take care of him so that he doesn't even come close to hitting free agency?
I think the Buck track record speaks for itself, Steve, that they'll keep the players they want to keep. And you know what the common denominator is? Most of the guys that move on from the Bucks, they're out of football. They're mostly out of football.
Or they're somewhere else, yeah.
For the most part.
Getke, I guess he's number one priority for the upcoming free agents.
Well, I got him over Otten.
What about Reddick? You don't think he's coming back, Ira?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, no, Jason Light, I think, wants him back.
He's either going to suck or have a big year and move on.
That's the fun things we're going to get to. I just want to point out Tristan Wirfs. He was on his fifth-year option, so a little different. Getteke, yes, he's in his final year, but I think he's got less leverage with it not being the fifth-year option. But Lee has got a story about your buddy Sean Payton, Ira, and then we'll get out of here.
Well, Ira, I'm a big matchups guy, whether it be athletes, whether it be coaches. I'm a big matchups guy. Now, as soon as I say this guy's name, people are going like, oh, but don't listen to the name. Listen to the information, because that's what counts. I was listening to a Notre Dame-based podcast the other day, and they had Ian Book on there, who, of course, played quarterback at Notre Dame. I think he started his first game at Miami. Notre Dame's first game is at Miami with a first-year starter. Anyway, Book was talking about the biggest lesson he learned was when he was with the Saints, Sean Payton was coached. I can't remember who the other three quarterbacks were. One was Trevor Siemian. One was Jameis. The fourth quarterback, I can't remember. But the fourth quarterback and Jameis were both hurt. Ian Book said, biggest lesson he learned. Sean Payton went to Trevor Siemian, who was starting this game against the Bucks, mind you. And Sean Payton said, look, I'll get these receivers open. I just need 3 to 5 plays from you. That's all I need. I'll take care of the rest of the offense. We got a running attack. I'll get these guys open. So it'll be easy throws for you. You just need 3 or 5 plays to make. That's all you need to make. And we'll win this game. And we know Sean Payton, I mean, Bowles' kryptonite is Sean Payton. Sean Payton pretty much owns him. Likewise, Bowles pretty much owns Nick Sirianni. So matchups are always important about, you know, whether it be a player versus player, coach versus coach. There's always someone out there that has a coach totally figured out, or a player has another player totally figured out.
All right, Sage, no Sean Payton on the schedule this year, so that's always a
thankfully
bonus.
He's a hell of an offensive mind, Sean Payton. Brilliant. What he did with Breeze in New Orleans without great receivers, Lee, he had Jimmy Graham, good tight end.
Okay, for 3 or years or so.
Colston. If Colston was on another team, you wouldn't pay any attention to
the
Colston.
The Bucks, I believe, I did the numbers, I believe they had 7 or 8 Hall of Fame coaches that they played against last year, or Super Bowl coaches, and this year it's 3. So that should make a little bit of a difference. You had an elite coaching situation last year, and of course the AFC West, you know, all those guys could be Hall of Fame coaches, including Sean Payton. But we don't see them this year. All right, Ira, we'll be back after Saturday night's game, and we'll have some fun.
Catch you next week.